Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 176 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I are back this week to discuss the Monaco Grand Prix. Of course, a little bit of housekeeping. Apologies that the last episode went out either yesterday or the day before. Obviously, we recorded it Tuesday night. Jamie sent me over the footage at like 1 in the morning for some reason. I downloaded it, I edited the video, I uploaded the video. I just simply forgot to set it public until Jamie messaged me at like 8 o'clock last night going, did I send you the footage in the end? And it was my reminder. Jamie, the ultimate question then, apart from, of course, how are you doing, is why on earth did you send me the footage at a ridiculous time of the night?
I think I tried to upload... This is so random for the first minute of the podcast, by the way. I tried to upload the video footage twice, and both times my Google Drive was full because I forgot to delete stuff. And then I wanted to play Rocket League for a bit. So once I finished, I then uploaded it.
Fair enough, I don't blame you. You still play Rocket League quite religiously. I forget sometimes you're 14.
Great. I'm actually Diamond 3, Champ 1. So thank you very
much. I have no idea what that means. I've played like 6 games of Rocket League in my life.
There you go. If anyone wants a 1v1, then don't hit me up because 1v1 is terrible. If you want a 3v3, hit me up.
There you go. Ladies and gents, you can play Jamie 183 of Rocket League if you feel that way inclined. But of course, yeah, obviously, we move from Imola to the streets of Monaco, the race they all want to win, you know, the most glamorous race on the Formula One calendar, all those cliches. Ultimately, it's a track that normally you can't overtake on, but last year's race was pretty good because it rained. I don't think that's meant to happen this weekend, is it?
Not that I've seen, however.
Let me double check. I don't believe it's meant to... No, it's meant to be sunny all weekend. It's meant to rain today.
And on Tuesday. Wow. It's qualifying is the key thing here, as we all know. If you're a new fan to Formula 1, don't get your hopes up for a good race at Monaco. The only thing that's good about it is it's slightly intense because there's always that little bit of hope of, like, it could just hard cut to someone in the wall at any point. Probably Logan Sargeant.
But it doesn't anymore. Formula 1 drivers nowadays are too good. That's the problem.
It is true. And the cars are too reliable. So even I watched the 2004 extended highlights they put on YouTube, and cars with like Sato just blew up and put a smokescreen out, which doesn't happen anymore. So
no. I'm going to say now we're going to see a mechanical failure in Monaco. It's not going to be dramatic or anything. It'll just be someone pulls off the road.
I really hope that one of the top three teams has an absolute shocker in qualifying, so he actually has to make some overtakes.
I mean, that will definitely be Charles Leclerc.
It's true. Leclerc has not had much luck around here in the past, has he? At his home Grand Prix, of course. It might have been fake, but I saw something on Instagram that was like, Leclerc forgot that his home race was the next race and stayed in Italy a bit longer by accident.
Oh, bless you. That's just a meme. They always post that, Jamie, on Reddit.
Great. Well, yeah.
He was literally in Monaco yesterday doing an event.
Fantastic. It's the sort of thing Leclerc would do just to avoid being in Monaco for the Grand Prix.
Is it, Jamie? Is it really? Bless you.
He's only ever scored points there once, hasn't he? And he should have won the race and came third.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, it's not his happy hunting ground at all.
No, not so far. But then again, he's been pretty good on a Saturday. So maybe this year it can finally go his way, especially with how kind of tied down these regulations are now. That, as we said, engines don't tend to blow up. But we will see Leclerc out in Q1 because Ferrari will do something stupid. We have got weirdly quite a few talking points since Tuesday. We mentioned, of course, in that episode that we were going to talk about it properly today. What do we make of the McLaren Senna tribute livery?
When I saw it, I really liked it, and I thought that's pretty cool. Now that a few days have gone by, it looks a bit like the sort of thing you'd buy on an F1 game from the store.
Yes.
So I haven't seen it. I haven't seen pictures of it in real life yet. It may be better than it looks, but it looks slightly unserious for me. I don't know. It's all right. Obviously, it's a really cool like thing to do for Senna for sure. But I, yeah, I wish they'd have gone for the tobacco, even though they're not allowed to.
Oh, I mean, imagine. This is what I was about to say. Like, a Marlboro-inspired livery would have been so sick. Like, you imagine that thing going around, that would have looked so cool. It would have looked a little bit odd, because, of course, the cars have changed so much since then, but it would look so cool. But, you know, on the other hand of that, I am happy that, of course, you know, it's not a McLaren throwback livery. It is a Senna livery, which is quite nice. The only problem is it's a Benetton 1993 throwback livery. It doesn't look like that. As well, because I mean, yellow and green isn't the most common color combination ever seen in Formula One.
No,
but yeah, it does look a little bit like that. On a scale of 1 to 10, JB, I mean, it's nothing close, unfortunately, to their golf livery a couple of years ago, because that was sex on wheels, is what that livery was.
I think I slightly prefer it to their usual livery, which I don't remember what I gave that at all, to be honest, but. I'll give it a 7.5.
Okay, I was going to say 7. I like it. I don't love it. It's decent enough. You know, it's not like Ferraris in Miami. The driver suits are pretty cool, to be fair.
We'll probably see at least one of them on the podium. So
I hope so. Obviously, we'll get into predictions a little bit later on in the show. Other funny news things we've got come out in the last... Actually, this one is since the last podcast. Sergio Perez and Red Bull apparently closing in on agreeing on another deal for some reason. we mentioned, of course, if you watched the show that went out a couple of days ago, that the best way to get Sergio Perez to perform is to hold his wife and children at gunpoint during every Grand Prix.
Not in Monaco, apparently. Yeah, he doesn't really care about his wife when he's partying in Monaco, does he?
Is he? Go on. He's going there with it. He's going there.
How many years ago was that? Two?
Two, and he won, wasn't it? 2022.
Yeah. That went down fantastically well back in Mexico, didn't it?
Well, he lives in Monaco, though, doesn't he, I thought? Sergio?
Yeah, he probably does.
Or he's got residence there.
Yeah. That was weird.
What does he plan on doing? Pleased. Bringing the lady he pulls at the club back home to his wife in Monaco. Like, what does he expect to happen there?
Not sure he'll be doing that again. Well, probably he won't be winning, mostly.
Probably not, no. No. It would make me chuckle if he did pull it out of the bag again, though. But again, we'll get on to predictions a little bit later. But the funny thing is this week, of course, is unless your name is Max Verstappen, Red Bull are only ever interested in signing a one-year deal. And obviously, Perez had a bit of a stinker in Imola. So do you know what he did from that? He turned around to the team and went, "I want 2 years locked in, please."
Yeah.
And they went, "No."
Yeah, there's no chance he's getting a two-year deal unless he really turns around his performances. He's going to have to accept.
Or decides to race for £8.50.
Yeah. So a one-year deal, just on repeat. It's kind of what Mercedes did with Bottas, wasn't it, for years and years?
Yeah.
Just because a lot can change in 1 year, let alone two. So, you know, in 2 years' time, there might be a fresh Red Bull junior on the block that needs a seat like Max Verstappen did back in the day. I doubt it, looking at their junior program right now, but you never know.
Hang on a minute. You like Zane Maloney, don't you?
He drives for Sauber.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah, why did I think he had a...
He was at Red Bull last year.
That'll be why then. I get confuddled. I can't keep up with Formula 2 and Formula 3.
Now. I like Oliver Goethe, but I don't think he's ever going to get to F1.
He might do down the line. Isaac Hadjar, I mean, he's done all right. He's won the last couple of feature races.
He's not the next Max Verstappen, is he?
Wouldn't say so, no. I don't see a world in which we see Isaac Hadjar three-time Formula 1 world champion. But there we are. But yeah, Perez, like I say, I mean, do we think he re-signed? Because it kind of leads us into our next point, doesn't it? Of that Sainz is apparently running out of options, as in Toto Wolff has basically said, yeah, we tried to agree to something and he just simply wouldn't. Red Bull, it seems like they're kind of going, yeah, no. And, you know, it was kind of his big option. I think everyone, of course, it was kind of, he used the Audi deal, you know, written into this from the outside. It's like he tried to get a big number from Audi to go to these other teams, and these other teams have gone, yeah, we ain't paying you that.
Yeah.
And he's kind of going, but Audi are going to pay me that. Why won't you guys pay? Please pay me that. Audi are willing to do it, but I don't want to race there.
Yeah, and it seems like that's going to be the only option left shortly. Yeah, it seems like both Sauber drivers right now know that they're not going to keep the seat for next year because they're both doing a lot of calling around. What's it called? Flirting. I've forgotten the word. With other teams. I think we saw Bottas with Williams, didn't we, in Imola?
And Imola, yep.
Joe to Haas apparently is a thing, which would be fantastic, but I don't buy it myself.
You basically spent like 6 weeks on copium saying that Joe's going to go to Williams and Bottas must listen into the podcast.
He must.
I'll have that seat, thank you.
Yep.
Because we all are pretty convinced that's going to be the case next year, aren't we, at the moment? Unless something crazy happens. I mean, I saw a brilliant one this week. Could we see Antonelli at Williams and Bottas back to Mercedes for a year? With the option to swap. Imagine Bottas ends up back at Mercedes.
Bottas was so done with Mercedes when he left. That's why he didn't go to Williams in the first place. It's because he wanted fully out of that system. But then Alfa Romeo / Sauber have just destroyed his soul even more. So maybe he would go back.
I mean, did you see the video he put on their socials a couple of days ago?
Yeah.
That is a man desperate to do anything to keep his seat. If you're willing to roll around on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not as serious as he once was, that's for sure.
I know, I like unserious Bottas, though. The Uber ad he did in Australia was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And might well be my favourite thing of 2024.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could agree, but it was very impressive and strange.
No, you gotta love casual Bottas. He is an icon. I think he's earned himself a lot more fans by...
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
He's kind of gone... Because it's a bit odd, isn't it? Because, of course, Lewis is, you know, in Mercedes and allowed to do whatever he wants to express himself. But Bottas, I it's always people say that Mercedes didn't give him the option. I kind of always got the sense that Bottas was too scared to, rather than Mercedes wouldn't let him.
Yeah, it was almost like he had to focus 100% on the team to get anywhere near Lewis. So that's what he did. It gave him no time for any personality. Whereas now...
Yeah, a bit like Rosberg. I'm going there.
Well, he got a title out of it. So.
Yeah. He didn't sleep with his wife for 9 months and now has chicken legs. And as we discussed a few weeks ago, no kidneys and is bald and has no eyebrows. But there we are.
Well, I'm surprised he's still got hair.
That is still my favourite ever podcast moment. Like, that will
you completely
go
lost
the
it.
For me.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Well, yeah, but to get back to the point. Carlos Sainz is running out of places to go.
We really did go on a tangent.
There's been the words from the Aston Martin camp that Stroll might not automatically keep his seat. But then, in the last two races, he actually done better than Alonso, so maybe he will.
I mean, whenever they put out the graphics for, like, where drivers are going for next year, Stroll's always on there. With a little star going rolling contract to be confirmed. It never gets confirmed. He just shows back up. I still love the fact that he never actually got announced a Racing Point. He just appeared in the postseason test.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's almost like they don't want to announce it because they'd get too much hate.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a strange one. It's like in the school football team when you just know for a fact that the manager's son is going to be number 10 forever.
Which position is number 10?
Attacking midfield.
I had a similar problem.
Pulls the strings. You had a similar problem on pro clubs.
No, not on pro clubs. I was going to say, actually, when I used to play football years ago, was the manager's son was the only other guy that played in the same position as me.
And he always got picked.
He always got picked.
That's a shame. I'm sure it has nothing to do with your football ability. I've seen that cross-bar challenge video.
No, he was genuinely worse than me. He was genuinely worse at football than me.
That is impressive. But,
I know, it's staggering to believe. That's just how bad my football team was. You know, Jamie, in the 10 years I played there, we won one game.
Why did? How did the team keep going for 10 years if there was never a victory?
Because it's kids' football. You pay £2 to show up each week. It's not that. It's not like we're trying to get to the championship.
No, it's true.
Something.
But like, why do people carry on playing if the team's that bad? It would just be demoralising.
Because it was a laugh.
Fair. Okay.
It was a good laugh. It was a good laugh. What else have we got? Fred Vasseur reckons... I mean, Imola showcased that McLaren are right there ready to fight. We spoke about it as well, didn't we? Charles Leclerc was only, 8 seconds off in the end? So Fred does believe that both Ferrari and McLaren are in the fight for the rest of the year. And honestly, I want to believe he's fairly close. I don't believe in the title fight, but I do believe that between them they'll be able to fight Red Bull for more wins, which I think, to be honest, is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, you look at even the gap in Bahrain was, what, 28 seconds or something to the nearest non-Red Bull. So
no, that was to Perez.
Was it? Oh, that was to Perez.
Yeah.
So even so, yeah, the gap coming down to the Ferrari of Leclerc was 7 seconds. That's a lot of progress in a short space of time. And also, Red Bull are still getting hamstrung by lack of wind tunnel time, aren't they?
Yeah, so, yeah, they will continue to be.
Yeah. So honestly, the development race could swing in the favour of McLaren and Ferrari very easily.
Well, they've probably done both quite well there by finishing behind Merck last year.
Yeah. Yeah, because Mercedes are trash and they've got no wind tunnel time. So, yeah.
And no Lewis Hamilton pretty soon.
Well, that might be a good thing, the way he's driving at the minute.
Well, yeah, let's not talk about that too much. I want to do your quiz, I think.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you were like, this could be an evil quiz, so I'm worried
about
it.
This is quite evil. Well, you gave me a ridiculous one Tuesday because you hadn't come up with a quiz.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the same here for you before we get into our other talking points. Now, of course, Jamie, Monaco is always described as the race they all want to win, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it is the venue that if any driver pretty much could pick one Grand Prix to win in their career, it would either be Monaco or their home race, if they've got one. Of course, you know, we always say that P11 is the most painful position in Formula 1. So I'm not going to ask you to tell me who finished P11.
I thought you were going to say P11 then. I've no chance.
No. What I was going to say, though, is can you go back starting from last year and name me every driver that finished runner-up in the Monaco Grand Prix?
Ooh.
So didn't quite do enough to win it, but still got a trophy from the end.
What
of
even
the
happened last year? Oh yeah, of course, it was actually a good race. 2023 was Alonso.
Correct. I will also, for this, I will allow 2 wrong answers. You
okay?
Can keep going. So you can guess again if you get the wrong driver.
Okay, this might go for a bit. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, he's confident. He's confident. I can't wait to get it wrong now.
2022 was Verstappen.
Incorrect.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Perez won. I thought it was Red Bull 1-2. What?
You already used one of your incorrect answers. One of your lifelines.
Did Leclerc not even get a podium? Surely Leclerc. It's one of the Ferraris. Because they pit Leclerc. I might just... I think it might have been Carlos Sainz then.
Correct.
Okay, good. I was so confused.
I thought we were
going to
be
then.
Out after
yeah.
one.
2021. That was... Sainz and Norris were on the podium for what order? This is really difficult. I'm going to go Sainz again.
Correct.
Okay,
back
good.
To back runner-up finishes in
I didn't know that. 2020.
No, nor did I.
There wasn't a race.
Didn't happen. Nope.
2019 was... Oh, I almost got that wrong. It was Vettel. It
was.
Should have been,
you were
going to
say
Max
then, weren't you?
But
it
had
shouldn't
a
have been. He
oh, yeah.
Stopped Bottas from getting P2. That was actually a fair penalty.
That
it
was a very
Max's
fair penalty.
Fault. Yeah.
2018... Ricardo won it with the half an engine from Vettel.
Correct, yeah. Ferrari, 4 runner-up
four
finishes
in a row.
In a row.
Wow. 2017. Vettel won it from Raikkonen.
Correct. 5
yes.
Ferrari runner-up finishes in a row, but this one not so bad.
2016. Hamilton lucked into it ahead of Danny Ric in second with his 40-second pit stop. 2015.
Just remind me where Rosberg finished that race as well.
He got done by Hülkenberg, got to the line. The absolute
he
goat.
Did. He came 7th in a Mercedes. He almost got lapped in a Merc.
2015. You've ruined my flow now. All right, where were we?
Sorry.
2015, Rosberg won 3 in a row, the legend. 2015 was Vettel, wasn't it? Because Hamilton came correct. Behind both of them in the pit stop. 14 was Rosberg from... Was it a Merck 1-2? I think it was. I go Hamilton second.
It was correct, yeah.
13.
For reference, four cars in 2014 finished on the lead lap.
That's insane. That's similar in 07, I think.
Yeah, McLaren were nuts, yeah. Weren't they, that year?
2013, Rosberg won it. Hamilton qualified second, but I think Vettel came second?
Correct.
2012.
One lifeline as well. I've got a lifeline as well. Here.
Phone a friend. Yeah. Where are we going? 2012, Mark Webber won the race from Rosberg.
Correct.
2011.
I tell you what, after a shaky start, your recovery is
well. This is my strong era. I'm terrible at recent
it
history.
It is. Yeah, you've just got to get through. You basically go a bit wobbly early on. Yeah, do really as soon as well, we're into... and then you forget David Coulthard exists.
Yeah, that's going to happen again. 2011.
Yep.
Vettel won the race from Alonso or Button. They were the podium. I think Alonso was second.
Correct. That was the year where Seb was not going to win, wasn't it? And got a red flag.
And then Petrov didn't need a red flag, but got one. 2010 was a Red Bull 1-2 led by Webber. So it was in Vettel in second.
It was Renault podium lockout.
Yep, Kubica qualified second.
On the least power sensitive circuit on the calendar.
Yep, classic. 09, Button won the race from Barrichello. I think it was Brawn 1-2.
Correct, yep. Barrichello, P2.
08, Hamilton lucked into this one as well.
Slightly, yeah.
Oh, this is actually difficult. Who was second? I think it was Massa or Kubica. I could easily get this wrong. I'll go Robert Kubica.
Correct.
Oh.
That was a good one. That was a good clutch. I like that. 07. I like that. You've still got one lifeline.
07
as well.
Was Alonso won it from Hamilton. McLaren 1-2.
Correct. Yep. How many drivers finished on the lead lap that weekend?
Four.
Three.
Yeah, Fizzy was four.
It was only Felipe Massa and the McLaren. Felipe Massa was a minute and nine seconds off the win.
06. Schumacher got kicked out of qualifying, so it wasn't him. Oh, 06 is stumping me a little. Oh, this is Raikkonen's engine blowing up and going to the yacht, isn't it?
Yep.
So, I'd guess Alonso won the race. Who else was good in 06? I don't want to say David Coulthard. He was actually third, wasn't he?
Was that the Star Wars Red Bull? No, that was 05. It was the Star Wars Red Bull.
It was the Superman Red Bull when Christian Horner had to jump into the pool.
Yeah.
Oh dear. If Alonso won the race and Coulthard was third, who would have finished second in 2006? I think Webber was
running
second for a bit.
You have done very well.
In the Williams.
Done very well so far.
I'll go Montoya.
Correct! Oh. This is incredible.
05. I know nothing about 2005. Maybe Raikkonen won. I'll just say Alonso.
Incorrect. That's your second lifeline gone.
Okay. Yeah. Surely
you've done really well up to this point.
It could be David Coulthard. I'm pretty confident that Raikkonen won this race because he's definitely won at Monaco.
Raikkonen did win this race. I'll give you that.
Okay. It's not Alonso in second. So it could again be Montoya in the Williams. It could be. It could be Mark Webber in the Williams. Or it might have been Ralph Schumacher. It could be Michael Schumacher, but I don't think Ferrari's very good that year. This is a complete stab in the dark. I'll go Montoya again.
Incorrect.
Okay. Right.
It wasn't David Coulthard. You did make me chuckle then, because you named three drivers in the Williams, and it was actually a Williams driver that got a podium.
But none of those, was it? Who?
None of those.
Alex Vert? No, he wasn't there.
He raced for McLaren that... Well, he did practice for McLaren.
Who drove for Williams that year? It wasn't Rosberg, because he came in the year after. Was it Webber? No, I said Webber.
No, you said Webber. He was his teammate.
Williams' teammate. Why have I gone blank? I can't even think of
this
anyone.
This is hilarious.
Is it Ralph Schumacher? No, hilarious. I said Ralph Schumacher as well.
He was at Toyota by then. Did beat his brother, though, by a tenth of a second.
Wow. I don't think I get it.
Nick Heidfeld. Quick Nick. Williams double podium.
Oh, Williams BMW, yeah. I wouldn't have got that in a million years, I don't think. But I do like Nick Heidfeld.
No, it was one of his best ever results. Well, his joint best ever result.
His joint best ever. He never won a race.
For Quick Nick. because he never did win a race. Yeah, obviously that was also fun fact for those of you listening, because that's what we like to do here. That was the weekend. Obviously, there were only 18 cars at the Monaco Grand Prix, and why was that, Jamie?
Why was that? Oh, BAR got banned. Is that it?
BAR got banned. Yeah. So Jenson Button was on commentary that weekend, which was quite interesting to listen to. But yeah, no, it was Nick Heidfeld that had a Mark Webber on the podium, with Raikkonen obviously winning. Juan Pablo Montoya finished fifth that day.
Right.
With Ferraris seventh and eighth.
Which answer was David Coulthard back? Does he ever finish second there?
I know he won a couple of Monaco Grand Prix.
He did win a couple.
I don't know if he ever finished runner-up, though. He didn't in 04. Let me keep scrolling. Talk about something else,
great.
I'll get back to you.
F2 and F3 have announced their calendars for next year. And they're pretty similar to what we've come to expect from an F2 and F3 calendar at this point, aren't they? So...
In fact, I don't think anything's changed at all, apart from, obviously, the order the races are in.
Yeah, potentially. So they're starting in Australia, which is fantastic. They're going to Japan. That's new, isn't it? Oh, no, they're not.
I was going to say, no, it's just the calendar's different.
Yeah. Okay, so it's, yeah, Australia, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia has F2, but not F3. Then Imola, Monaco, Spain, Austria, Britain,
Jamie,
Belgium. Hello.
David Coulthard finished second in the greatest Monaco Grand Prix of all time.
Olivier Panis, 96.
Yes.
Wow.
There you go. I think I believe that's the only time he finished second there.
There you go. There you go. Olivier Panis later appeared in Top Gear, driving in ice in a in a hatchback. Yeah, and F3 finishes at Monza.
And we're both
in
thinking
September.
The same thing.
F2 has its classic 8-week hiatus between Baku in mid September and Qatar at the end of November. Which is hilarious, as usual.
I mean, I hate the idea that Baku might actually have some championship effect this year as well. Like, I don't mind when it's thrown at the start of an F2 season, because you've got plenty of time to recover. Throwing that in as the third last weekend is awful.
Baku in F2 is a bit crazy, but it is quite entertaining as well.
Was that the race where Mahavir Raghunathan scored a point just by surviving?
No, that was Imola. That was Monza, sorry.
Was
not
it?
Imola.
I was going to say, oh yeah, Imola, yeah, yeah.
He was at Baku. Mahavir Raghunathan got Austin Powers down an escape rope.
He did. He cooked the engine.
Yeah, definitely not where he scored a point.
He did that in practice, though, to be fair.
He did. But yes, he was nowhere near scoring a point the whole season, really, until there were 10 cars that finished.
I mean, 10 rounds for Formula 3 again. I actually don't mind a 10-round Formula 3 season, but I feel 14 rounds for F2 is a bit on the extreme side.
Ever so slightly, but it's easier now that there's only two races again. The year there were three.
Oh, yeah, but that was only 2020, wasn't it? It was so bizarre.
2021, was it not?
I thought it was 20. I mean, you could be. It was one of those.
I think it was 21.
It was such a bizarre schedule.
It was Piastri winning the title, and then he debuted in 22, didn't he? No, debuted in 23. Sorry.
Debuted in 23.
Yes.
Was it 2021? Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess Mick didn't win.
Mick was 2020. Yeah.
Mick was 2020. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but now we're back to two races and a calendar, a schedule that makes sense. Then, yeah, I don't mind 14 races.
The three race weekend. I mean, imagine a 42 race F2 calendar. Because I mean, even when it was, I think that was why they did three races a weekend, was it? Because it was only a 10 round season.
Yeah, it was a shorter.
So it was normally you get end up with like 26 or 28 races anyway, but obviously then it was 30 rather than 20.
It screwed over Joe, because he won as many feature races as Piastri did, but Piastri can actually overtake. So he got a lot more points in the sprint races.
What you're saying then is Joe scored less points and that's what screwed him over.
Well, he scored the same number of points in the important races.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I mean, yeah, I mean, the calendars I don't believe for either. Obviously, there's no new tracks for 2025. So F2 and F3 are racing at exactly the same venues they're racing at in 2024. But of course, obviously, some of them are in a slightly different order. So obviously, Baku towards the end of the year. Australia is a season opener. It's a shame, obviously, that no one is going to be awake to watch F2 and F3. Yeah. but yeah, that's a little bit of a shame, isn't it? Because it's normally nice to have an idea of what things are looking like.
Yeah, and you don't really get F2 that from and the F3 highlights
before they go to Australia as well. Have we got anything else to talk about, Jane, before we do predictions?
Have we? I don't think
anything happened in the world of Formula One.
Not that I can see. It's also, is it? No, that Monaco's changed now, so you don't do anything on Thursday now.
I thought it was still Thursday. Am I wrong? Let's have a look. I thought Monaco was. Oh no, it is Friday. Oh, there was always the bank holiday. I guess they've got a bank holiday next week. Yeah.
F2 practice.
Yeah, I guess the bank holiday will be next week, won't it? Because it's normally the last Friday of the month. But obviously, Grand Prix won't be held in June. Yeah, no, that's why it always. So the Grand Prix is always the last weekend of May. But obviously, the bank holiday is always the last Friday of May.
Why didn't people in Monaco need a bank holiday? They didn't do any work.
It's a bold claim to make, Jamie. You're going to get shot now in miscellaneous circumstances. It was lovely talking to you.
Yeah, I'll knock you back next week because I'll be in the grave.
What are the scores on the doors?
You did extremely well last week.
I nailed it last week.
Yes,
so
you're 8 out of 8. So it's currently 35 to me and 30 to you.
Oh, yeah, I am still 5 back, aren't I? Okay, so yes. I still get to pick first then. Now, Jamie, I made a call on my stream on, I think it was Monday night, that has been clipped, so I know there will be people here that tell me off if I don't stick to it.
Who's going to win?
So, well, pole position. Pole position, GM183. For the Monaco Grand Prix.
You're
going to
say Leclerc, aren't you?
I'm not.
Oh, dear.
It might be even more of a gamble than that.
Who's on pole?
Oscar Piastri.
Oh, dear.
Oscar Piastri, P1. I'm going to say Leclerc, P2. Lando Norris, P3.
I think it
would just be the most Lando Norris thing in the world. That after he finally gets his first win in Formula 1, Oscar Piastri wins a better race.
Well, I'm going to scoop up the easy points and go...
I have the easy points this week. I'll
Max Verstappen pole. Verstappen win.
Yeah.
I kind of want to say you're saying second and third, but I'll go Norris P2.
Yeah. And you're having my perfect podium for
last
week.
I'll go Carlos Sainz, just because Leclerc anti-Monaco voodoo will come back.
I mean, he's got better every year. He actually finished last year, which is nice.
He did finish last year. Wait, last year? As in 2 years ago was when he should have won and got the bad pit stop.
Yeah.
What happened last year?
I think Ferrari just lacked pace all weekend, didn't they?
Like, yeah.
Did they lack F1 2020? Obviously,
Alonso,
Ferrari
messed
up.
So it's Verstappen and Alonso top two. I have no
Ocon
idea what happened
was
to him
P3.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Qualifying, Ferrari ended... Oh, Charles Leclerc ended up P3. Where did he finish? Charles Leclerc P6, so I guess Ferrari messed him up.
Well,
would be
yeah.
my only guess.
I've no clue. The knowledge is on the floor. The knowledge is absolutely on the floor.
Oh, that was when McLaren was starting to get good rather than were good already, so that's fair enough. We'll allow that. And obviously we had... Oh, no, that was the year before, wasn't it? The Conor McGregor was there supporting his boys Haas and they were both out by half distance.
Yeah, fantastic.
So funny.
Magnussen and Schumacher ripped the car in half for like the third time that season, didn't he?
He did. He spent more time ripping Formula One cars in half that year, and people still believe he deserves a Formula One seat. Because
nope.
Alpine mentioned him a couple of days ago.
And they listed about 10 drivers.
Mick's back! Exactly. You go, no, he's not. He Mick Schumacher, lovely guy, yes. Formula One material, no.
I mean, yeah, he's not the worst driver to ever be on the grid, because he did beat his teammate. No.
Yeah, but it was Nikita Mazepin,
yeah, exactly.
Who you'd argue was the worst driver. I mean, in the last 10 years, he's got to be right up there.
Yeah.
Once we kind of got past, you know, all the weird pay backmarker drivers of the early 2010s, he's definitely been the worst driver since then. And like we've often said as well, if he was a second off Mick, and Mick was a good 7/10 off Magnussen, and Magnussen's a good half second slower than Hülkenberg,
yeah.
Just how bad actually was that Haas in 2021? We won't go down that rabbit hole again. Because we've got to be good.
I would have loved to see a Hülkenberg Mazepin lineup, and then
they out qualified
by 2 seconds a race.
Exactly. Yeah. I reckon generally that Haas was better than the Williams all year.
Probably was.
Especially when you think it probably had, you know, if they put setups on it that worked. But again, we won't go down that rabbit hole today. Perhaps that's what we save for the winter. We get some data and everything like that. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie?
I don't think we do.
No. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed, all that good stuff. And we will be back next week then to talk about Oscar Piastri, a real Formula One Grand Prix winner.